But I'm delighted to welcome my next guest, also in the Alabama legislature, hails from Baldwin County, Foley to be precise. Our good friend, State Representative Steve McMillan, is on the line from Montgomery. Representative,
good morning,
how are you
Jim.
Doing? Hey, how are
doing
you?
Great. We're going live right now. They just started the debate on the first bill, so I understand we're going to probably take a lunch break for the ladies to have lunch with the governor, which is a long-time plan. And then we'll come back and stay a while. May have to spend the night in Montgomery tonight. We'll just have to see what happens, how it transpires.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit about that, how you guys have gone late the last few nights, just trying to get everything in, I suppose, before spring break.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize it, but there was some significant legislation that was not passed last regular session because of the virus. And so we're having to really kind of do two sessions in one. And I think the leadership's done a real good job of prioritizing what's going to occur. We haven't had any controversial legislation in the House until today, and it's going to be a triple dose of it probably, so we may be here a while.
You got to have all those chefs in the kitchen at once, and everybody's got to get their say in. It's shaping up to be a long day for sure.
Well, things have changed, so with the virus, the adjustments that we're having to make, and it's kind of interesting. The leadership and the staff did an excellent job of preparing for this session, and really had to make very few changes. But give you one example, the ones of us that are sitting up in the gallery don't have the opportunity to get down and work the floor on the House floor to get co-sponsors and talk to committee chairs about agendas and that sort of thing. So we're trying to do that at caucus lunches and give people an opportunity to get co-sponsors and communicate with other members of the legislature.
Well, and talk about that the COVID-19 has obviously changed things, and it seems like up until this point, the goal was to get the must-pass things out of the way. You did that the first week. You got three very important pieces of legislation done. Then you've been working on the budgets. The budgets are moving much faster than they have in the past. But now here we are at this stage where the backlog, we're starting to catch up on that. And that seems to be the process right now.
Yeah, people are getting nervous about bills getting put on the agenda, and I'm a member of the Rules Committee, so I've noticed that when we hit the halfway point of the session, that I started getting a lot more contacts about people wanting bills on the agenda, the House bills on the agenda, and we try to monitor each other and be sure we're being fair with each other as far as the number of bills that are pending in the House or the Senate. And the report we got Tuesday, was level with everybody as far as the number of legislation, the bills that have passed the Senate and the number that have passed the House.
Representative, speaking of bills that have made it out of the Alabama House, I wanted to get you on to talk about this. It got a lot of headlines, and I think probably a lot of support from a lot of people in this audience, but you got a bill through the House that I didn't know that this was taboo until now, but in outdoor dining areas at restaurants, apparently you could not have a dog. You couldn't bring your dog with you to an outdoor area at a restaurant. But now that looks like, it's on its way maybe to changing.
Yeah, it's passed the House and with out of committee in the Senate, pending passage up there. I've been following up on it today to see what the status is. I hope it'll pass this time. I've introduced it two or three times, but it's gotten better every time. The American Kennel Club has endorsed it, which had never occurred before, a very long letter of endorsement for all the positive benefits. And then the Restaurant and Hospitality Association has endorsed it. They're very heavily behind it because they look at it as another option with the virus and so forth to have opportunity to be in an area where it wouldn't be any intimate danger to anybody as far as the virus. And the dogs in that, it's been interesting to me. I had a friend of mine call this morning. I didn't even know he had a dog. Thank me for introducing the bill. He couldn't wait. He was looking forward to taking his dog breakfast every morning after they walk.
Well, I tell you, this has happened from time to time. My wife and I, we have two dogs, but we're living on the coast and had to leave. This was back when we lived in Destin, Florida, for hurricanes or whatever, and you take your dogs with you, you got to stop and eat somewhere, and you go up through Alabama. I mean, there wasn't really anywhere you could bring a dog. I never realized that there was a prohibition against this, but it sounds like that you're kind of catching up with, I think a lot of other states already do this.
I can't remember the number, but it was, I don't want to exaggerate, but it was in double digits, and there's a good many states. And we've got safeguards in there for the public health. The animals cannot go through the seated indoor dining area. They have to have an access to the outside dining area, at the outside dining area, and some things like that that will make it a little easier for everybody. The owner of the restaurant has to post a sign conspicuously that it's a dog area. It doesn't keep anybody from using it that doesn't have a dog. But a couple of restaurateurs I've talked to want to probably have a petitioned area for the ones that they want to eat outside without a dog and have them a little more space.
And this is not compulsory. This is up to each individual establishment to make that decision.
Strictly permissive, and I appreciate you bringing that point up. That's something that people need to be well aware of.
Yeah, because I think that was the concern for a lot of people, that it wasn't, you know, this wasn't going to be at every storm. It's just gonna, I mean, every restaurant, that it's up to each.
So many don't even have an outside dining area.
Right.
One of the latest letters when it was on the floor of the house happened to own a restaurant, and he said this would be great for him because summertime coming and people traveling with their pets, and they can't leave them in a car while they go eat lunch. And he's already planning on having an outdoor dining area, which he does not have right now. But he's looking forward to being able to offer that as an option for people who are traveling.
Yeah, because then it becomes a draw for your particular establishment, right? That you know.
Absolutely. Best advertisement in the world.
I don't think people realize that this is something that a lot of it's certainly in demand, if anything.
Interestingly, I've had more contact, I think, from North Alabama than I have from South Alabama in support of it.
Were you, was this ever something you were just considering as local, Bill, because you have the beaches there and a lot of people travel with their family pet or whatever, but it looks like it's statewide?
Really, primarily because of the Restaurant and Hospitality Association, they would certainly have supported the effort in Baldwin, but they wanted to have their members statewide have an opportunity.
Well, it's good to hear you getting broad support from it around the state. I know that it certainly seemed to be an oversight at the time, but it looks like it's moving right along. Let's talk about the issue of the day, and it looks like all the action on gambling is still kind of on the Senate side. Is there any buzz within the House chamber about the gambling proposal? Who might, if there's somebody carry a lottery bill, or if it's going to be this more broad, comprehensive gaming proposal? Are you hearing anything about where it might head in the House?
I would say that the majority of the House members that I've discussed it with want to see a lottery vote, and that's really all they're interested in at this point, because that could change. Wait and see what comes out of the Senate. I think the Senate's concerned that they may pay something that the House won't go along with and be a negative on them. So we'll just have to see if it gets a little closer.
Well, I tell you, where it seems to go wrong in the House a lot of times, not necessarily the whole, you know, all these gambling interests, the NDA casinos or the doctor, but where the proceeds go. In the past, that has been an area where you've had some division. Does that... That issue is not talked about as much in the Senate, but I could see it being a problem in the House.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Based on your experience, you hit the nail right on the head. That will be the first fight's going to be getting it passed. The second fight's going to be determining how the money's spent, because that's going to dictate the first one. expeditious. So we'll just have to wait and see.
And I don't think a lot of people, you know, we talk about it, but a three-fifths majority is not an easy thing to do necessarily, even when you have a super majority in the in both chambers. Getting three-fifths for a constitutional amendment becomes very difficult.
Well, as I explained to people, this system is designed to kill bad bills, not to pass good bills. It's just set up that way, so that it's patient. You have to be patient. I've had legislation that I worked with for 10 years and finally get it passed. And it was good legislation, no reason for anybody to oppose it, really. It's just a question of getting in the right position at the right time.
Well, what about this, though? This is sort of the indication I've gotten from just talking to members of leadership in the House that, you know, all this going on in the Senate is fine, but it's probably best suited for this discussion to happen in perhaps a special session later on, when the governor can come in, sit the call, and at least create some boundaries, some parameters there to work within, and you have a better path forward to getting something done.
Yeah, that's the latest thing that they would do it in a special session, and I'm sure your audience is probably astute enough to realize that that puts it in the governor's lap to be able to dictate what issues would be addressed, because the supermajority vote, if it's not in the call.
And then you got it quarantined, sort of, and that's all you guys get in there, and it's all you're discussing. It's not all these peripheral issues. Maybe a related to it necessarily, but the governor actually would have, I guess, a vested interest if she were to get involved in the process. What right now, there's no reason for her, or no legal reasoning, I guess, for her to be involved, because she doesn't really have much say in a constitutional amendment.
Right, exactly. So, and she's taking the position that she wants to see a vote, so that's a good position for her.
Well, and that is one we're going to keep an eye on, I think, for sure. But today it sounds like all your controversial bills, the transgender bill, the abortion bill, some other things, they're finally going to get some of these controversies, these controversial bills discussed on the floor.
They'll all come up today before midnight tonight.
We certainly got a long day ahead of you, but stay safe up there. We always appreciate getting you on.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's a good way to communicate.
And we'll talk again real soon. Ladies and gentlemen, that was State Representative Steve McMillan on the line. He